I think that's the beauty about this race. You learn so much and meet so much people and country and landscape in such a short time and do all of this with your bike.
If someone is thinking that they cannot do it, they have to rethink it or stop thinking and just do it, because your body can do more than you think.
I dreamt about riding this year from the beginning. I've heard about it and now here I am.
Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. Day 13 at TCO number 12, and over the last 24 hours, more riders have arrived at the finish line in Kalamata, Greece. Each and every one of them has their own unique story, but none are quite like the TCO journey travelled by Sarah Boslett, Cap 120. 2 years ago, her partner, Mohit Kohli, was killed in a road traffic accident while trying to break a cycling world record. They'd planned to ride last year's TCR together. Instead, Sarah completed TCR number 11 in Mohit's memory. This year, Sarah returned to race and has spent most of the long ride south in a tussle for top spot with Camille Albissa, Cap 270. But as Kalamata grew ever closer, she began to open a telling lead. This morning, 8 a.m. on day 13, Sarah rolls into the finish line and wins the inaugural Flinter category at TCR number 12. She receives an emotional welcome from race director David Eyre.
See you guys
later. Yeah. Thanks for you.
Wonderful boys.
Big proud of you. Yeah. You've ridden a really brilliant race.
Yeah.
Should be really proud of yourself.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I had my rhythm, and then at some points I think I did some smart moves.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And yeah, it worked out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you said you train more. You came looking for something.
Yeah.
And you've achieved more than just something.
Yes. Yeah, but I only achieved. I'm only standing here winning it because of Moritz.
Yeah.
Because 2 years ago he told me that, I could be top three. And yeah. I was like, yeah, no chance. And yeah, last year was a really special situation and I was just really grateful to be racing.
Yeah.
And this year I really wanted to do the best possible. But I never expected that it would be like this.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's the least I could do for him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's also, it means a lot to his family.
Yeah.
And Mudit is also doing well.
Yeah.
He's still riding.
Yeah, so yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
All of us included as well.
Yeah, I got so many messages already and like I wasn't checking them, but
yeah.
Sometimes they popped up on my phone and I was like, oh my God. And so many people that got emotional by my story, even though they don't know me. And yeah, it means so much to me. It's crazy.
Well, should we take your brevet card and make this thing official?
Yes, please.
Just 4.5 hours later, Camille Albissa, Cap 270, also arrives in Kalamata. She's ridden brilliantly and, alongside Sarah, provided captivating viewing for dot watchers everywhere. She takes second position in the Flint category at TCO number 12.
Bravo Camille! Merci! Bravo à vous aussi, les copains! Vous êtes des machines!
La France!
Ouais!
This is quite a welcoming party.
Yeah! Super cool! Where is the beer?
You've got your priorities straight, Camille. Where is the beer? I like that.
Yeah. Amazing race, Camille. What are some of the highlights?
Some of the landscapes. I think, no, it was not registered, but because we were talking about that with at CP4. And for me, it was like the border crossings, they were always mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like Montenegro, Kosovo, like always, like when you have to, when you, you know, like when you start the downhill, it's crazy. It's super beautiful. After like the long, boring roads in Hungary and Poland and everything, like, yeah, that was really nice. And also the people. So I found specifically in Bosnia, so I had coffees with some locals and people were so nice.
Did you expect to do this, or did it sort of just happen as you got into the rhythm of it?
I mean, I'm getting used to longer distances. So I knew I could do it, you know, and just that, you know, I enjoy that. So I don't stress myself too much about, you know, like the tracker or the race or whatever. I do what I like, cycling, discovering new countries, and I think that's the result.
So that's what drives you. That's why you race.
Yeah,
to discover.
And you know, things. I have like little quests every day, like find new animals, meet people, whatever, you know, like.
While Sarah and Camille have been battling it out at the front of the Flinter category, Larissa Unsin, Cap 346, has quietly gone about her business, riding a consistent race throughout. With Kalamata in her sights, she managed to leapfrog Leah Hamburger, Cap 404, to finish in third position. She completes our Flinter podium at this year's TCR.
Did you have any expectation that you might be arriving third on the Flinter leaderboard?
No, I even wasn't sure if I can make it in the... Yeah, in time.
Yeah, at all, yeah, within the general classification.
Yeah, so yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I really enjoyed.
So what were the high points of the race, Larissa?
The Balkan. I've never been there and it was amazing. The people are great and it's just beautiful. I never expected, yeah. And Norway as well.
Norway as well.
But different.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but yeah, I fell in love with the Balkan.
Well, what have you most been looking forward to on the finish line as well?
Jump in the sea.
Yeah, jump in the sea. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
You're taking after Robin. As soon as he came in, he was stripped off straight in the harbour.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to jump into the sea in 3 days.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'll let you jump in the sea then, Larissa, and enjoy
Thank
your
you.
Beer. But congratulations.
Thank
welcome
you.
To, welcome to Kalamata.
It's time to head back along the route to race reporter Sophie Potter. As always, she's with the rest of Control Team 2, who find themselves in Albania on the approach to Parkour 4.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Control Car number 2. We are on our way to Parkour 4 now. We are on the road, like on the mountain road, just before the Parkour, where every rider is going to pass through there. And we stopped by a fountain because there is fountains everywhere here, like. So it's really cool for the riders and it's really cool for us as well. It's quite warm. And we are hoping that Nicole will stop so we can have a chat with her. And then we're going to spend a bit of time at CP4 where there is a river not so far. So we may even have time to go and have a dip there.
Before long, Sophie runs into Rodrigue Lombard, Cap 235.
Is it your hottest temperature you've ever ridden in, or...?
I don't think so. I think I had 42 or 44 and TCR number 9 in Romania.
So,
but still, it's not very comfortable to ride with this temperature, yeah.
What do you do to...?
I stop more often and I drink a lot of water. And basically, that's it. Mm. And I eat only ice creams at the moment.
Yeah? So there is an ice cream contest.
Yeah. But Matthew obviously is the winner.
Matthew?
Matthew Falcone.
Ah. How much do you know? Do you know how many?
You should check his Instagram account. I think he's already his 45th ice cream since the beginning.
Nicole 76.
yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a new jersey now. It's the ice cream jersey.
Yeah, for sure.
Sophie also speaks to ice cream queen, Nicole van Battenberg, Cap 29, who's playing catch-up after an unplanned lie-in.
My alarm again.
Yeah? How many hours?
So I slept 7.5 hours instead of 4.5. And now this Katerina, she took over me. So I'm in a time trial trying to catch her, but she's fast. I mean, it doesn't matter that much, but I like being in fifth position.
Yeah.
So
it gives you motivation to push hard.
Yeah, it's good.
And about the ice cream?
No, how many more? I don't have time to get ice cream now. I'm in a hurry.
Oh, I'll let you go then.
Okay, bye.
So that was Nico that we saw on the climb, pushing very, very, very hard yesterday. She was really focused on the ice cream. And this time, she's really focused on the fifth place and the Flinta category. She is going strong. That's really cool to see.
As you've probably gathered by now, riders typically choose between sleeping in a bivvy or finding themselves a hotel for the night. Further back on the route, Tom Dokal, Cap 194, has made it to CP3 in Sarajevo, having managed to find a sleep solution that sits somewhere between those two typical options.
I tried to get some kind of a room like most people before coming up this very cute but steep climb. But Sarajevo was full and everything nearing Sarajevo as well because of concerts. So I don't know, there was some kind of concerts and it was full of people and all those people booked out the whole of the town. So there was nothing. At some point I was in Sarajevo because I tried to find some bivvy spots and it wasn't very possible. So in the end, I ended up at the Marriott Hotel and I asked the lobby guy, the night porter, if he knew of something that I could afford, not unlike his hotel. So in the end, it ended up with me being on the couch of the Marriott lobby because he offered me that, but only before his colleagues in the morning arrived so that he wouldn't be getting into some kind of trouble.
Okay.
So he had a stinking cyclist. There was a stinking cyclist in the lobby of the
Marriott Hotel.
Nice.
Throughout the race, we've been receiving daily dispatches from Andrew Phillips, Cap 00A. He's one of the race organisers, but this year took to two wheels, riding outside of general classification with pair's partner, John Endres, the man briefly referred to as Cap 00B. With John long scratched, Andrew's updates have seen him attempt to answer the question, why race? It seems other riders have, quite literally, been listening.
So I'm halfway up my last climb of the day. I've booked a hotel in Kukës, which is just down the descent, 12 kilometers away, which feels like a real achievement, even though it will be one of my shortest days. I did difficult off-road cut through today to avoid some banned roads, which was tough. Really steep, some single track, some hiker bike, some scrambling through the woods. But the thing that I really wanted to talk about was the fact that I've only seen two riders today. Both of them have obviously been listening to the pod, and the first thing they wanted to talk to me about was my own feelings, which it's kind of funny for me because I'm actually a fair few days behind on the pod and I've not really heard what's gone in. And I don't massively remember what I recorded because I've just sort of been doing it in the spur of the moment and saying how I'm feeling. I'm certainly not pre-planning or scripting anything. So the first rider I met was a guy called Jim at about 8 a.m. this morning. We both stopped at the only open shop for miles around. And he said, oh, you're Andrew. And then he said, you know, I expected it to be this hard, but what I didn't expect was it to be this emotional. And I thought, that is such a good point. That probably is one of the things that surprises people a lot about doing ultra. even those people who are quite sort of stoic in normal life can have their emotions really brought out by days of exhaustion and heat and lack of food and everything else. And then the second rider I saw was Matt, and first thing he said to me was, oh, you enjoy yourself, have you found your why then? So clearly word's getting round, and hopefully people are starting to think about it themselves, what their why is, why are we all doing it?
Sophie and Control Team 2 arrive at Control Point 4 in Albania, where they expect to welcome a series of riders over the course of the afternoon. With them is one of our volunteers at CP4, Lisa Nemets.
How is it to be on the other side of the table? Because last year you were racing.
Yeah, it's very relaxed to be on the other side of the table. It's like, and I feel like we're in the most relaxed place as well. Like, we've got this water fountain in front of our little desk, and we just see sort of the dogs and the goats and the horses drink from it, and so people just sit around, have coffee all day, and we do the same basically here. And then just go for little bike rides in between and explore. I mean, it's so beautiful. Like, Albania is just, I love it here so much. It's just, if you like nature and mountains, it's like the perfect place to hang out. So, yeah. And then it's also nice to see the riders come through and sort of not be in the position where you sort of, where you're hungry and sort of dirty and sticky and everything, but you're just, yeah.
Riders arriving at CP4 can celebrate another race milestone firmly ticked off. But they also need to think about the road ahead and getting their timings just right as they approach the border between Albania and Greece. Elise Sommier, Cap 303.
I was a bit scared for the...
Number 303?
Yeah, for the border crossing, so I pushed a bit.
Okay.
So I'm tired.
Are you okay, yeah, for the border?
Yeah, I think it's 9. Well, according to what I found in the internet, it's 9, so I'm okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to find some food before, and I think I'll go to Rio and Nina to sleep. It's a bit long stretch because I like to stop early normally, and so it will be later, but at the end, it's the end of the race, so moment to push a bit.
Why you haven't pushed so far?
I was like a bit, I was pushing, but I was a bit conservative.
Mm.
I didn't want to feel that it was not holidays too much.
Yeah.
Another rider with the border on their mind is Daniel Schulz-Voltrap, Cap 342.
Yeah. How does it feel to be at CP4?
It's crazy. I mean, it's so close to Greece.
Yeah.
Albania was awesome. It was the most beautiful country I've ever been to, I think.
Yeah. Will you come back?
I definitely, yeah. It was like saying goodbye to me with like the brightest sunset ever. It was so nice. And yeah, it's just like, yesterday I already had the feeling like, I mean, I started in fucking Norway and now we're here. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine. I can't even realize yet what's happening.
Do you know any Greek word?
No.
Not yet, but soon, no?
Probably, yeah, probably. Could you guys tell me which position I'm currently at? Because I don't look at the tracker, but I ask at every checkpoint.
55, I think.
Yeah,
good. It's good, yeah, I'm getting better from CP to CP, so that's fine.
So you check at CPs, but not in between?
Yeah, I don't look at the tracking, it just gets me nervous and everything. But I always ask, and I improved on every single one of them, so I'm pretty proud of it, so yeah.
Hélène Fromenty was the fastest woman at last year's Trans-Pyrénées race. If she continues to ride well and make it to Kalamata, she's set for a top 10 finish in the Flinter category at TCR number 12 too.
What's your strategy for the next finishing? Really, I think I'll get a good night tonight, and then ride as much as I can tomorrow. And I think I can't do it in one push, otherwise I will just die in the finish park also. I think I will have a proper rest tonight in a bed, and then maybe have a short night outside from Sunday to Monday to arrive to Kalamata in shape and with a smile and not like
struggling.
Yeah, because someone is waiting for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not there yet, but he's on the way. So my boyfriend is going to the finish, so I'm really looking forward to see him, to see everybody, and just to eat some olives.
Yeah, and everything else. You deserve them.
Yeah.
Because Haribo is nice, but at some point you want olives.
At some point you want something else, so...
This is the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, and that means more than a decade of riders racing across Europe. There have been plenty of great cyclists, but no shortage of great role models too. Here's today's Sophie Explains.
When I was a little girl, I generally thought women couldn't become professional cyclists, not because anyone ever told me that, but because I never saw one. To me, professional cycling was the Tour de France, and the Tour de France was for men. What surprises me the most is that I never even questioned it. It simply felt normal. So I think it's time for another Sophie Explains, today, the role models. So do we need role models? According to psychologists and sociologists, yes. Research shows that children start picking up gender stereotypes from a very young age. By around the age of 6, many children already associate certain jobs, sports or abilities more with boys than with girls. Not because they are born thinking that way, but because they are constantly watching the world around them, who they see and who they don't see. But here's the interesting part. This doesn't stop when we become adults. Our brains are constantly building what psychologists call our possible selves, a mental picture of the people we believe we could become. And every time we meet someone who feels relatable, that picture grows a little bigger. So what actually makes someone a role model? You might think it's simply about seeing someone who looks like you, but psychologists have found something even more interesting. The most inspiring role models are not necessarily the most successful. They are the ones who feel possible. Someone you can look at and think, if they can do it, maybe I can too. Psychologists call that vicarious experience. Seeing someone else succeed doesn't magically make you stronger, but it increases something called self-efficacy, your belief that you might be capable of succeeding too. Role models don't change what you can do, they change what you believe you can do. So what does that have to do with cycling? Actually, quite a lot. The bicycle was invented in the early 18th century. Not long after that, men started racing it. But for women, the story was very different. It took decades before they were allowed into the biggest races. In 1924, Alfonsina Strada became the first and still the only woman ever to ride the men's Giro d'Italia. People laughed at her. They told her she didn't belong. She finished anyway. And the Tour de France tells a similar story. For decades, there simply wasn't a woman Tour de France. It disappeared for years before finally returning in 2022. Even today, the story isn't over. In ultra-distance cycling, women still make up only a small percentage of the start line. And that's exactly why representation matters, because every time we tell these stories, we make it a little easier for someone else to imagine themselves on that same start line one day. So why does this go beyond women? You may have heard talking about the FLINTA category throughout the race. FLINTA stands for women, lesbians, intersex, non-binary, trans and agender people. Many of these communities have had even less visibility in cycling than women themselves. And that's important because representation isn't just about feeling welcome today, it's about helping someone believe they belong tomorrow. That's why this year TCR introduced a FLINTA category, not because these riders need different roads, but because visibility creates role models and role models create possibility.
Andrea and Louisa Nicholson, CAPS 421 A and B, are pair partners and actual twins who shared their 30th birthdays while on the road. They've had an adventure together, but it won't quite end in Kalamata this time around.
So we have scratched, and even though we didn't think that we would have done 2,000 kilometers in 10, 11 days, it is a really sad feeling to make a decision you don't want to make. You always want to get further. At the first point, you want to reach a CP1, then you reach that and you want to reach another point. And every time the victory is waiting on another point. When you are cycling, you know what you are doing. You know you already had done a lot, that you experienced really beautiful views and tough cycling moments, tough mental moments. But every time you reach the point of the place you wanted to be at, you want to go further to another place. And for us, or mostly for me, at just one big moment, my body just said, no. We are so, so sad about the fact that we needed to scratch, and sad about the fact that we couldn't go further in this beautiful experience.
This is Luisa from the Bear 421. We just came home, and that came with very different emotions. During the ride, there were a lot of emotions, but now coming home, it's like double, because I unpacked my stuff and then I saw the tracker and it was like, wow, what did we do now? It's like a dream that never came true, but it did. Actually, the TCR for me was like way too big. We entered it because my sister said, yeah, let's go. But I've never done ultra cycling. I'm just a normal female bicycle rider from Belgium. We knew what we were going to attend, and we knew it was going to be a very mind-blowing experience. And that was it. It was crazy. I actually only wanted to share one lesson that I've learned from this TCR experience. And that's, if someone is thinking that they cannot do it, they have to rethink it or stop thinking and just do it, because your body can do more than you think. Your mind is not your body, and vice versa. And you will get so much out of it in the lows and in the highs. It's crazy. Don't let your mind take so much away.
With race reporter Jake at the finish line and only Sophie to cover the rest of the route, we've been asking riders to send us a message from wherever they find themselves. Here's Brian Thomas, Cap 319, who's still riding but looking set to end his race early.
Currently, I believe I'm the last person doing the TCR and the Lantern Rouge, because I'm still in Sweden. I was only 80 miles short of control point one when I ran out of time, and have decided to tour my way back down towards Sweden, and then I'll probably scratch and tour my way back to Britain. It's been a cracking adventure. I rode harder than I thought I possibly could, trying to make the control. I was out of time mostly due to inexperience, and I think the leftovers of some food poisoning which I caught when I cycled up from Holland to Trondheim before the start of the race. But it's been a fantastic experience, and I would definitely have another go. I think I could at least make control point one next time, and possibly control point two. But I'll not get too far ahead of myself. I'll have to put in some proper training, but fantastic experience. I've enjoyed meeting so many new people, and it's really put my cycling into perspective. Thank you for your time.
Harold Rinner, Cap 116, has spent his race so far holding on to some motivational messages, only to be opened when the time is right.
Right now I'm on parkour number 4, and I enjoy the amazing landscape and riding in the sun, and it's really great to do that. But I also had some troubles. Today I had a flat tire, and yesterday a spoke was broken, and the bearing is very loud and makes much problems, and so I was very disappointed. I was frustrated, but I have the big luck to have children. My children gave me an envelope and said, if we are frustrated, open it. And yesterday I was very frustrated. I opened it, and there are cards, and there is, we are always on your side, you can do everything, and so on. And it's great from them, and it gives me so much power. And so I'm still riding, and the spoke is broken. I did not find a mechanic who could fix it, but I'm still riding. And yeah, if there's another problem, I will put another card of the envelope, and so I will do it. Thanks to my children, you are the best.
And our last rider dispatch for today, Sebastian Kirschbaumer, Cap 145.
I think my motto might be enjoying every minute and every second and every moment, which, to be honest, is
tough, of course. It's an ultra. It's my first TCR. It's my first official ultra race. I only did some LA Cats and love to bike pack. And yeah, the first week was really tough for me. I share the problems other people have. I think every day there was something, but I try to remember every day to think of the things you are thankful for and you love about this race. And in the end, the unexpected things are the most beautiful, are the best. Like so many moments of road magic, whether it was racing with a rabbit on the street, of course I lost, or having a chat at a bar in the middle of Slovakia where I wanted to get some water and they wanted to do some shots with me. I think that's the beauty about this race. You learn so much and meet so much people and country and landscape in such a short time and do all of this with your bike. This gives you so much freedom and is such a colorful experience, which you have to be grateful. Even if your bum hurts, if your knees itch and whatever it is, I think you have to focus on that. And yeah, that's why I will enjoy the rest as much as the beginning. And I'm really thankful for this experience.
Let's end today's episode with two more stories from riders in Kalamata. First, Peter Kronberger, Cap 29, who arrives at the finish line in 14th position. He speaks to Jake about a particularly tricky night in Montenegro, lost in the forest, total darkness.
Yeah, I went for a night hike in Montenegro because my route went a bit on gravel and then it went into forest and the forest road suddenly started splitting over again. And at one point I realized I'm on the wrong route in the middle of the forest, tried to go back, but the same route also on the way back started to go get splitted a few times and suddenly I realized I'm completely lost. So I had my odyssey in a forest in Montenegro. And after 45 minutes, I realized I'm completely lost. So I then used Google Maps, the satellites, just tried to maneuver myself out from the forest into some kind of open land. From there, it was a bit easier to see where houses are, went to the next house. The house usually have a connection to a road. And from this road on, I tried to go back to my track and then go to the next try, the same up. So if, for example, you look at my track, then you can see that I basically went on a circle.
Really?
Yes.
No, that must have been so scary, though. Like, in the middle of the night, pitch black, and you're just lost in a forest with nothing to tie you to your route. That's crazy.
Exactly, yes. I panicked a bit, yeah. But yeah, in the end, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You would need to sleep in the forest, and the next day, you will see a bit more and clearer, because the problem was also I was extremely tired. So yeah, cost me 2 hours for my night hike.
Each year, the Mike Hall Bursary goes to a handful of riders who face a financial barrier that may otherwise prevent them from taking part. One of those riders at TCO number 12 is Wojtek Ronka, Cap 96, and he's made it to Kalamata in a highly impressive 25th position. Jake spoke to Wojtek's mother and brother at the finish line.
Were you always confident that he would make it to the finish line?
Yeah, I think we all were confident that he will come to the finish line, but we just didn't know how fast.
Yeah, and I mean, he has ridden an incredible race, like so fast, right?
Yes, but some of his
route choices,
yes, were suboptimal, I think.
Yeah, and, well, it's always going to be like that the first time.
Probably.
It's
a lot of experience for him to come the next time.
Exactly. Yeah, the TCR really benefits from that experience. Have you been to any of his other finish lines?
No, it's first time.
Wow.
It's only his third major race. So
yeah.
After some well-earned hugs and congratulations, race director David spoke to Wojtek himself.
You look like you enjoyed yourself out there.
I think so. It was a very complex experience because there was everything during the race. First, it was race in 100%. It was very fast.
Yeah.
Then it was problem solving. Then it was adventure with all the countries I've passed through. It was amazing. So yeah, everything in between. It was a very trying at times, and yes, there was many issues that I've solved along the way, many mistakes I made, many lessons I learned. So, yeah, definitely proud of that. Of course, there's a lot of feeling that I could done better. Like for example, my route was rubbish. So that's one thing. Probably everyone says that, but I guess I have like 200 kilometers more than average, and believe me, some elevation and gravel were there as well. But it's the first time we are allowed to make mistakes.
Everyone learns a lot on their first TCR, definitely.
So yeah, I feel proud. I dreamt about riding TCR from the beginning. I've heard about it, and now here I am.
It's been yet another brilliant day at TCR number 12. Incredible stories, proper emosh. Here's Sophie with her daily recap.
Tonight in control car number 2, we headed to CP4 to welcome the riders who are almost at the finish. It's still quiet here, but not for long. The riders are getting closer every minute and they are all eager to reach that finish line. And one rider who couldn't wait to get there was Sarah, cap 120, the first Flinta riders to cross the finish line, finishing inside the overall top 20 in such an incredible strong field. So today's bravery badge goes to Sarah, not just for such a strong ride, but also for everything she represents. Sarah is pedaling for herself, but she's also pedaling to raise money for the charity World Bicycle Relief. Every kilometer she rides helps provide bicycles to students, healthcare workers, women and entrepreneurs in developing regions. And just like after last year at TCR, she's obviously riding back home. Finally, Sarah is riding to honor the miles her partner Moit never got the chance to finish. So I believe someone, wherever he is very, very proud tonight because he believed in Sarah long before she believed in herself. Congratulations, Sarah, for that amazing ride, but also for making cry an entire media team. We couldn't be happier for you. Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl is real?
Spotted, Kylian Mbappé finally breathing a sign of relief. Camille Albissier, cap 270, had officially restored France's honour by becoming the second Flinta rider to cross the finish line. After the World Cup, someone had to. Spotted, Paweł Pulanski, cap 8, just 250 kilometers from the finish, embarking on a ferry to Crete. Apparently, his wife was happy to take care of the kids for 2 weeks, but eventually wanted the father of her children back. So he quickly embarked for a ferry in the direction of their family holiday, probably the smartest decision he made all race. Joke aside, I actually think that's a beautiful decision. Sometimes knowing which finish line matters most is the biggest win of all. Tonight there is 221 dots moving south in the direction of the best olives in the world. CP3 closes tomorrow at 23:59. Number of scratched, 147. And tonight there is 29 riders on the finish line, including the first top three Flinters. In the ancient Olympic Games, Flinters would have only been allowed to watch from the sidelines. Well, you've given us one hell of a show, so thank you. I hope you get your olive wreath, and if it was up to me, you'd be given the whole tree. Tomorrow in control car number 2, we will also cross the finish line and wait for all of you to arrive, so hurry up. And in the meantime, good night and good ride, everyone.
Don't forget you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.